Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh I don't care.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah, adha'afa ma hamidahu جميع خلقه كما يحبه ويرضاه الحمد لله رب العالمين سبحان الله وبحمده عدد خلقه ورضا نفسه وزنة عرشه ومداد كلماته اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربنا يسر ولا تعسر وتمم بالخير وبك نستعين يا فتاح اللهم اجعلنا دعاة إليك وإلى رسولك اللهم فقهنا في الدين وعلمنا القرآن الحكيم ربنا زدنا علما اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى اللهم آتي أنفسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها أما بعد In order for a person to rise spiritually, a person has to control his anger. Anger is it's a major problem, and a person has to control this anger. So this discourse is about not pursuing the demands of anger. Anger has certain demands, and this is about not pursuing the demands of anger. Someone wrote to Maulana Thanwi Rahmatullah Alayh. He says, if anyone says anything bad about you and raises an objection to you, then I am burned up all over. I get very angry. If anyone says anything bad about you and raises an objection to you, then I am burned up all over. And this may even happen to us also too. Somebody says something bad about us, we get burned up, get very angry. So Maulana Thanwi Rahmatullah Alayh wrote back in answer. He said, okay, you're becoming angry, that's no problem with that. That is something which is natural. But hear what? Do not go beyond anger to seize revenge, even with the tongue. Do not go beyond anger to seize revenge, even with the tongue. Mufti Taqi Usmani, Damat Barakatum, says, this means that it does not matter if he gets angry, because that's natural, but he should not display his anger in words or deed, and he should not take revenge, not even orally. And this requires determination. Inna dhalika min azmil umur. It is best to forgive. It is best to forgive. As the proverb goes, to err and to make mistake is human. To err is human. And to forgive is divine. That's a quality of Allah. So it's best to forgive. And as I said before, these are things that they only become beneficial when we put them into practice and not just to remain in the book. We must understand that the Sharia has permitted us to show anger. On certain occasions, we are permitted. In such cases, it is allowed and permitted to do so, to show anger. But one must respect the limits when he seeks revenge. However, those who are being trained in this part of tazkiyah and tasawwuf, and they are beginners, those who are being trained, or when it is feared that one may trespass limits, it is advised that even permitted anger should be suppressed, and lawful revenge must be waived. In every case, it is better to forgive, no doubt about that. Let's go to the Holy Quran. The Quran says, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. Allah speaks about the people of Ihsan, the real Muhsineen, the real doers of good. Who are they?
الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ.
Those who spend, they spend under all circumstances. They spend fi sarra, in adversity, when things are hard. When there is affluence, wadharra, and when there is adversity. When things are good, they spend. When things are bad and hard, even then they spend. And what's our next quality of the muhsineen?
والكاظمين الغيظة.
Those who suppress their anger, those who drink down and swallow their anger,
والعافين عن الناس,
and those who forgive people, those who forgive mankind. So this is what Allah loves. Allah loves that man should forgive fellow men, because his name is Ghafoor. He forgives. So he loves that man should forgive fellow men. There are many merits in forgiving. Hence, the beginner is instructed that he should not seek revenge, but he should forbear and persevere. He should forgive the wrongdoer. He will get a reward for being patient, for being sabir, and he will get a reward for forgiving. Two rewards: for being patient and a reward for forgiving. And the reward of patience is so great, there is no limit. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Let's look at the ways of the elders, of the mashayikh, of the akabir. Maulana Tanwi Rahmatullah alayh has written an account in Arwahi Thalatha of a man who asked his sheikh if it was correct that the ways of the Sufis and the awliya, the mystics and the men of Allah, if it was correct that the ways are different, their temperaments vary, and their colors are diverse. He requested his sheikh to let him experience how they differed. His sheikh tried to stop him from insisting on his requests. But when he persisted in his requests, the sheikh said that okay. He said he should go to a small masjid situated in Delhi near the grave of Qutub Shah. Go to a small masjid situated in Delhi near the grave, the Qabr of Qutub Shah alayhi rahma. There he would find three men engaged in dhikr. He must strike a blow on the back of each of them and then return to him and report how they reacted. Accordingly, he went there and found three men. He struck a blow on the back of one of them, but he was unmoved, as though nothing happened, and continued to make dhikr. When he struck the second man, he turned back and gave him a blow and resumed his dhikr. The third man, when he struck him, turned back, took hold of his hand and stroked it, asking, I hope you are not hurt. This man returned to his sheikh and reported that he had a strange experience. He said that man did not even bother to look back. His sheikh asked him what he was doing, and he disclosed that he was engaged in dhikr, which he continued uninterrupted even after he had struck him a blow. The sheikh explained that the first man thought, "Someone has hit me, and that blow cannot be reversed, and the pain cannot be returned. If I hit him back, then I will give him pain unnecessarily. And why waste my time over that? I can best use the time in dhikr and get reward and merit, which are better than seeking revenge. Why should I? Don't waste time in seeking revenge. Continue your dhikr. I can best use the time in dhikr and get reward and merit, which are better than seeking revenge." Thus he paid no attention to the striker and carried on his task. Equal retaliation. The sheikh asked his disciple about the second man. "Tell me, did he strike you as hard a blow or more severe?" He said, "He struck me just as forcefully as I had hit him. Same force." The sheikh enlightened him. "He is one who took revenge according to the Sharia and obeyed the verse of the Holy Quran." He obeyed the verse. "وَإِنْ عَاقَبْتُمْ فَعَاقِبُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا عُوقِبْتُمْ بِهِ وَإِنْ عَاقَبْتُمْ." And if you have to punish them, فَعَاقِبُوا, then punish them, بِمِثْلِ مَا عُوقِبْتُمْ بِهِ, punish them with the like of that wherewith you were afflicted. If you have to punish them, says Allah, then punish them with the like of that wherewith you were afflicted. So he acted on that. The sheikh disclosed he took revenge. And you know why he took revenge? He took revenge for your benefit, not to satisfy his own desire, but for your benefit. How? Sometimes, if a man endures someone's excess without taking revenge, then Allah punishes the one who committed the excess. Allah takes up his matter. If a man of Allah shows patience, then it might turn out hard on the wrongdoer. Hence, this man took a like revenge that you should not suffer and Allah should not take up the matter. He did you a good and he acted on the verse. وَإِنْ عَاقَبْتُمْ فَعَاقِبُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا عُوقِبْتُمْ بِهِ. A doubt. Someone might ask that this shows, this is a doubt which will be cleared up. Someone might ask that this shows that the men of Allah are more compassionate than Allah. For Allah says, in a hadith Qudsi, Allah says, "Man aada li waliyan," anybody who goes against a friend of mine and bears enmity with a wali and a friend of mine, فَقَدْ أَذَنْتُهُ بِالْحَرْبِ, then I declare war on that person. I declare war on that person. On the other hand, the saintly man forgave the strike and showed patience. This means that he was more forgiven than Allah. So it seems. Doubt cleared. Maulana Thanawi Rahmatul Alay clarified, look, a lioness will overlook if anyone hurts her. The lioness will overlook that. But if anyone hurts her cubs, then she will not leave him alone. Allah sometimes overlooks violations of his rights, his hukuk. Sometimes Allah overlooks that. But he does not forgive one who hurts his wali. He doesn't forgive one who hurts his wali, his friend. This is why he said, Man adali waliyan faqad adhantuhu bil harb. That whoever harbors enmity against a wali of mine and does him wrong, I announce to him war. This hadith is found in Bukhari. Hadith of Bukhari Sharif. Let's talk about this hadith. However, the muhaddithin, some of the muhaddithin, have commented on the sanad of this hadith adversely, as they have not commented on the sanad of any other hadith in Bukhari. Rahmatul alayh. Some have even said that Imam Bukhari alayhi rahmah has erred in recording this hadith in his sahih because it does not meet his standard. Not that anything is wrong with the hadith, but it doesn't meet the standards of Imam Bukhari and his sharait and conditions. It is not that the hadith is weak and very weak, it's not about that, but that it falls short of his own conditions. It falls short of the conditions of Imam Bukhari. However, Imam Bukhari is aware of this. He's a great muhaddith, and yet he chose to put it in his sahih. It's for a reason. Imam Bukhari did waive them. He did waive those conditions when external factors bore out that the hadith was sahih, authentic, and sound. External factors bore out that the hadith was sahih, sound, and good, so he waived those conditions. It's good. Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi's contention, Rahmatul Alayh. Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi, Rahmatul Alayh, was one of the founders of Darul Uloom Deoband and the first of its patrons. He defined the limit between Sunnah and Bid'ah. Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi. Nawwarallahu marqadahu wa nafa'ana bi ulumihim ameen. He was delivering a khutbah one day, Maulana Rashid Ahmad, delivering a khutbah one day in which he spoke against Qawwali. He spoke out really hard against Qawwali. Qawwali is those Urdu songs sung in a chorus of a music nature with hand clapping. And he was very vociferous in that, very loud in that, speaking out against the Qawwali. Somebody was in the crowd. A man got up and reminded him that while he said that Qawwali was forbidden, Hazrat Nizamuddin al-Awliya, Rahmatul Alayh, whose grave is there in Hazrat Nizamuddin. Up till today, even the non-Muslims call that place Hazrat Nizamuddin. It's where the markaz is. The markaz is there, and the grave of Nizamuddin al-Awliya, Rahmatul Alayh, is present there. A big, big, big wali. So he reminded him, he said that, while you said that, Hazrat Nizamuddin al-Awliya Rahmatul Alayh, he did hear Qawwali. He used to listen to Qawwali and he did hear it on occasions. Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi alayhi rahma answered, you know what, he, Hazrat Nizamuddin, he may be aware of an argument and a dalil, he may be aware of that. But I do not know, and I am responsible for what I know. Look at the depth and the adab in his statement. He may be aware of an argument and some dalil, but I do not know. And I am responsible for what I know. Observe, says Mufti Taqi Usmani, Damod Barakatum. Observe that he was speaking vociferously against Qawwali. But at the same time, when a saint, when a wali was cited, he spoke politely about him. He spoke politely about him because this is a wali of Allah. So he was careful with his words and showed adab and respect. So what we learn from this? Do not speak harshly about the elders and our kabir. The point is that one may have differences with elders. They are human beings. One may have differences with elders, but one should not utter harsh words about them. We do not know how he stands in Allah's sight and what rank Allah has given him. We don't know that. Anyway, there is an occasion to show anger, and that is to seek legal revenge. There's an occasion for that. One can express anger to this extent and pursue the demands of anger to this extent. Yet, despite all of that, it is better to forgive. Better to forgive. Wal kazimina al ghayza wal afina anin nas. When one is receiving training in this part of tazkiyah, then it is proper for him in the beginning to waive even the lawful revenge, even waive that. Forget about that. You're a beginner. Forget about all types of anger. You wouldn't know how to differentiate. Now, ghadab, being angry, is something which is involuntary. Ghayr ikhtiyari. We have no choice in it. The Mawlana Rahmatullah alayhi said, being quick-tempered is natural. Quick-tempered, it's natural. It is not within one's power. That's ghayr ikhtiyari. There is no blame for it. Whatever is ghayr ikhtiyari, there is no masiyat, there is no sin in it, there is no blame in that. However, putting its demand in action, putting its demand in action and exceeding the limit thereby, that is blameworthy. This means that one has no control over anger, and to that extent it is not punished by Allah. It comes. Allah will not punish that. Everything that is outside man's powers is not questioned by Allah. This is qaida-e kulliya in the science of tasawuf. Whatever is ghayr ikhtiyari is not questioned by Allah. Allah only takes to task that which man does by his choice and intention. However, when anyone acts on the demands of his anger and is rude to someone with his tongue or hands, then he will have to answer for that. You know what? Sometimes people transgress even in lawful revenge. To transgress is blameworthy. However, generally, an angry man is filled with rage and he transgresses the limit, generally speaking. That's why I just go back and say, boy, I was sorry. Sorry I said that. Sorry I did that. And he feels bad. This is what the Maulana means when he says, being quick-tempered is natural. It is involuntary and blameless. But to pursue its demands and exceed limits is blameworthy. So what's the remedy for anger? The remedy is to use strength. Maulana said further, nothing but bold resistance is its remedy to anger. Nothing but bold resistance. Use strength. For instance, An angry man may like to tear the face of the other because he's filled with rage. He likes to tear the face of the other. No. He must force himself, use strength, force himself and prevent himself from doing that, resolving not to do it, battle it. He should boldly resist his wishes. This is why the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Laysa shadid bisar'ati," that the shadid, the strong man, is not the one who throws his opponent to the ground by felling someone, throwing someone, having him fell to the ground. The strong man is not the good wrestler, said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is a hadith of Bukhari Sharif. That's not the strong man who could throw down his opponent and who could wrestle good and tumble his opponent to the ground. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the strong man, the shadid and the strong man, is one who restrains his anger when he is feeling it in himself. So use strength. This is real strength. How to do it? There are some ways to make use of one's strength. If they are employed, then a man's strength increases and it is beneficial so that he can resist his anger. Maulana Tanwi Rahmatullah Alayh mentioned these ways. He said, use the strength to separate forthwith from the object of your anger. So separate yourself from the object of your anger. Move away from whatever causing this anger. Then recite, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajim, the Ta'awudh. And remember your wrongs and Allah's wrath. So use strength to separate from the object of your anger. Do the ta'awudh, a'udhu billah. And remember your own wrongs. And remember Allah's wrath. As the Prophet ﷺ said, Allahu aqdaru alayka minka alayhi. When Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was abusing a slave of his. These are also of help. The first and second ways. He gave the first method to restrain anger as to distance oneself from one on whom one is angry. Angry with somebody, he's causing to be angry, remove yourself from him. Or if he can be removed from you, the object must be removed or you remove yourself from the object of anger. This softens the anger. That's why when two people are quarreling and very angry, they take one and take one away. Say, come, move away. This softens the anger. The second is to recite, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajim. This is the prescription from the Noble Quran. Allah has given this prescription. Allah says, Wa imma yanzaghannaka minash shaitani nazghun fasta'idh billah. If a provocation from shaitan provokes you, wa imma yanzaghannaka minash shaitani nazghun, if a provocation from shaitan provokes you, fasta'idh billah, then seek refuge in Allah. So this is Allah's prescription. That is to recite, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajim. Another remedy is to invoke blessings on the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Arab have a very good practice, though it is on the decline these days. When two men quarreled and one became angry, the other would say to him, Salli ala Nabi. Salli ala Nabi. They still have it, but it's declining now. No matter how angry he was, the moment he heard this command, he would invoke blessings and he would say, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. O Allah, show blessings on our master Muhammad. And his anger would cool down and there would be a reconciliation. This was a very good practice of the Arabs. The Arabs had other excellent practices too, but with the encroaching of new culture, these practices are dwindling and they give way to modernism. The third way, the Maulana said that the third way was to remember one's own wrong and the possibility of Allah's wrath. One may say to oneself, while I am angry at him, I am more deserving that Allah should be angry at me, for I have committed many wrongs and sins. What will happen to me if Allah shows his wrath to me? Think about that, and anger will soften. Put in an effort and be mild. The Maulana said further, and adopt mildness, etc., by putting in an effort for a long time. It has to take practice. You will succeed after some period. You will succeed, inshallah, after some period, but do not lose hope. This means that one must adapt himself in such a manner that he deals with others mildly. He must practice it regularly. He should not give up the practice after a few days. No, practice it regularly. This is a lifelong effort, a lifelong effort. Gradually, after a period of time, this will become a habit and he will not feel angry even on its occasions. Maulana has given a very good prescription here. 7 courses of action when angry. 7 courses of action. In another saying, the Maulana's words are, when you are getting angry, ensure these things. 7 things. Number 1, you're getting angry with somebody. He has wronged you. 1, remember that you too have disobeyed Allah. You too have disobeyed Allah. What will happen if he, Allah, becomes angry with you? You want Allah to forgive you, so forgive your fellow men. So you think of your own shortcomings. Number 2, think, if I forgive him, Allah will forgive me. If I forgive him, Allah will forgive me. And I want Allah's forgiveness. That's 2. Number 3, do not sit idle. Do something, particularly read a book. Number 4, move away from where you are. Move away from where you are and the object of your anger. Number 5, do the ta'awudh. Recite a'udhu billah often. A'udhu billah often. This is Allah's prescription in the Quran. Number 6, drink water. Drink water. Because ghadab is a heat inside of you and it comes from shaitan. And shaitan is a fire. All this is from hadith. Drink water. Number 7, perform wudu. Perform ablution. 7 courses of action when one becomes angry. Remember, number 1, remember that you too have disobeyed Allah. What will happen if Allah becomes angry with you? Number 2, think, if I forgive him, Allah will forgive me, and that's better. 3, do not sit idle. Do something, particularly read a book, because then the anger lingers. 4, move away from where you are. 5, recite A'udhu Billah often. 6, drink water. 7, perform wudu. It's Mufti Taqi Usmani is going to take them one by one. I have disobeyed Allah. This is the first course of action. I have disobeyed Allah. The angry person must tell himself, I too am disobedient. And if Allah seizes me for that, what will become of me? Anger will subside. First course. Second course. Allah will forgive me. If I forgive him, instead of showing anger, Allah will forgive me. If I seize revenge, how will I gain? After all, how will I gain? The first proposed is of benefit to me in the hereafter. In the akhirat, this one is of more benefit to me. How a Sahabi radiallahu anhu forgave. Still on the second point. A man came to Sayyiduna Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Very angry he came to Amirul Mu'mineen when he was the Khalifa Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And complained, he came very angry and complained that a certain man had broken his teeth. He's very angry. And he said, I will take revenge from him and break his teeth. I'm going to break back his teeth. Sayyiduna Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu said to him, how will it profit you if you break his teeth? How will it profit you? Accept a monetary recompense and make up with him. But the man was unmoved. So Sayyiduna Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu said, okay, go and break the man's teeth. Break his teeth. Break his teeth. The Sharia gives you this right because it's a lawful right. But when he was going to seize revenge, a Sahabi radiallahu anhu, perhaps it was Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he stopped him and said, before you go, listen to me. Before you go. So far, you are the mazloom. You are the oppressed one. But you know what? If you go and you hit him harder than he had hit you, then you will become the zalim and the oppressor. You will be answerable to Allah. But if you forgive him, then I have heard the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, if anyone forgives a Muslim the excess and the dhulm he commits, then Allah will forgive him on the day of Qiyamah. Said the Prophet alayhi salam, if anyone forgives a Muslim the excess he commits and the dhulm he commits, then Allah will forgive him on the day of Qiyamah when he will most need forgiveness. So keep it over there. When a man will most need forgiveness. The man asked the Sahabi radiallahu anhu, did you yourself hear the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say this? He said, yes, I heard it directly from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The man then forgave his offender. He forgave his offender. Observe, he was unwilling to forgive or to accept a recompense. He was very angry. But when he heard the hadith, he was pacified when he heard the hadith. His anger disappeared. What a simple and straight path the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed. Simple and straight. If you forgive, then he, Allah, will forgive you in the hereafter where you deserve it and you will want it the most. The third way, occupy yourself in some task. The Maulana suggested the third course of action, because sometimes the anger burns in a person and burns in a person and burns in a person. Do not sit idle, but begin some task. If you take a book and read it, that is best. The fourth course is to shift to some other place. And the fifth is to recite, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem very often, ta'awwudh. The sixth is that he should drink water. And the seventh, to perform wudu. Mufti Taqi Usmani, Damat Barakatum, says, one more way. Go towards a decline, that's another way. There's one more solution, and this is based on hadith also. If one is standing, then he must sit down. If he is sitting down, then he must lie down. Because anger rises in the brain. And anger seeks height. That is the characteristics of anger. Anger rises in the brain and anger seeks height. A man who is lying down will sit up when he is angry. See that? A man who is lying down, he will sit up when he is angry because the anger seeks height. He will get up if he is sitting. If he is angry and he is sitting, you'll see him, he will get up and begin to walk. If he is standing and he is angry, he will begin to walk. This is the characteristics and the traits of anger. Hence, the remedy of anger is to do the opposite, which is go towards the decline. Go towards the decline. If you are standing, sit down. And if you are sitting, lie down. Lie down. These are the many remedies. If you adopt them, inshallah, you will grow strength, which will make it easy to control anger. The essential thing to restrain anger is strength. That's the essential thing. That's the key here. So whether you drink water, or you say, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim," you can do all of that. But unless you make a firm resolve, you will not achieve anything. So make a resolve that you will not put it into action, and the other methods then become helpful. But the main thing is to show strength and oppose this anger. May Allah give us strength to control our anger. And the topic continues. Maulana Tanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi disclosed the principle about anger in one of his sayings. He said, "When a man is angry, he burns with rage. Burns with rage. But this is an involuntary act for which he is not blamed. But to retain the anger and act according to its demands is within man's powers." You could retain it or you could choose to act or not to act. That's within one's powers. To abandon that which is voluntary is also voluntary. To abandon that which is voluntary, like pursuing the course of action and the demands of action, to abandon that is also voluntary. Thus, to put not its demands into shape is also voluntary. And when its demands is repeatedly ignored and ignored and ignored, the burning rage weakens. Mufti Taqi comments, "Just as stated in the previous discourse, rise of anger is not questioned. But if anger is put into action by scolding someone or beating another, then that is questioned." This is the gist of what the Maulana has said. The fury would exhaust and weaken when the demands of anger are rejected and rejected repeatedly. It is a principle of anger that the more you restrain yourself, the more you will have control over it. But the more you subject to its demands, the more it will rise. So swallowing back anger is dear to Allah. The great Imam Ghazali, alayhi rahma, has reproduced a hadith in the Ihya'ul Ulum that nothing swallowed back is dearer to Allah than swallowing back anger. And this hadith comes from Ibn Majah and Ahmad, Imam Ahmad. It's in the Ihya'ul Ulum. That nothing swallowed back is dearer to Allah than swallowing back anger. Thus, while it is allowed to swallow water, it's allowed to swallow sharbat, milk, the swallowing back of anger is the dearest to Allah. Because this means that man restrains it for fear of Allah, the glorious, and the knowledge of his greatness. When he tramples the demands of anger and rejects its dictates, that is very, very dear to Allah. The heart is meant to be broken. It is this mujahada that is demanded. When the heart is hurt, often for the sake of Allah, then the heart becomes the focus of the nur and the light of Allah, the exalted. The more the heart is broken, the more it is dear to Allah. And the more the nur and the light of Allah will descend on this heart. The desires that Allah has created in the heart are meant to be disappointed, and not that they should be met. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, "Huffatil jannatu bil makarih, huffatil jannatu bil makarih." That Jannat is veiled and surrounded by disagreeable things. Hadith also of Ibn Majah and Ahmad. This is what the heart dislikes to do. But it is done only for the pleasure of Allah. And that's how a person will get Allah's pleasure in Jannat. Huffatil Jannatu bil Makarih. The implication is that the heart is hurt. Each time this is done, the heart is hurt. Every time anger is suppressed for Allah's sake, or a lustful desire of the nafs is thrown out for His sake, this means that the heart's demands are trampled. And because of this, the heart becomes the focus of Allah's light, and a certain type of nur comes in into that heart. So crush the desires of the soul. Crush the desires of the soul and the nafs, crush them. Put a foot on them. The Honorable Dr. Abdul Hay, Rahmatul Alay, used to say, man must resolve that he would trample underfoot every desire of the heart and the nafs that is against Allah's pleasure. He must resolve to crush that and put it underfoot, and so gain control over them. Must make a firm resolution to do this. Thus these desires would become weak, as there is a statement that there are only two footsteps towards Jannah. Only two footsteps towards Jannah. One, put one footstep, put it under nafs and the carnal desires, and trample it, and the other footstep in Jannah, inshallah. The desires, know that desires never end. Desires never end. They keep coming and coming till the last breath desires will come. And in fact, they would remain unfulfilled until death. So desires will continue to come. But the longing, you know what? They will come, but the longing and the longing to fulfill them, that longing subsides. Come and go. Savor of Iman. Sweetness of Iman. When the desires of the heart become weak now, you trample them and put them underfoot and they become weak, then Allah grants the sweetness of faith, which is called halawatul Iman. Something we hear about, but it's something to experience. Then Allah grants, when the desires of the heart become weak, Allah grants the sweetness of faith, halawatul iman, and He grants His marifat. He grants His marifat, His awareness and recognition. In relation to the flavor, of iman, sweetness of iman, and in relation to marifat and divine awareness, the taste of desires is worthless. So there's a taste from desires, but there's a taste of Iman and a taste of His Marifa. But in relation to Halawatul Iman, sweetness of Iman, and in relation to Marifat and Divine Awareness, then the taste of desire is worthless. May Allah grant all of us the sweetness of faith, Halawatul Iman, and His Awareness, Marifa. Ameen. The pleasure derived from sin. Now when a person commits sin, he gets some pleasure, you know. He goes, he does zina, he drinks alcohol, he does some kind of sin. There's a type of temporary enjoyment. There's some kind of pleasure in it. That's why he does it, and the nafs likes it. The pleasure derived from sin and desires, that pleasure is nothing. Nothing when compared to the savor, to the taste, the sweet taste of Iman and Marifat. That pleasure is nothing compared to that. So give up that for this. It is not had free. This is not had and obtained free. However, this savor, this sweetness, the state is not had free, it's not obtained free. Begin by crushing the desires of the soul, crushing the desires of the nafs. Initially, you will find it very difficult when you start. But go on trampling the desires underfoot. Go on. Endure the difficulty. Gradually the heart will become the focus of divine nur from Allah. The Honorable Dr. Abdul Hayy Rahmatullah Alayh used to compare this condition with the maker of the bowl, who broke it into pieces saying, "We will make something else." The heart was broken and the desires broken to prepare something new for that nur of Allah and to get that sweetness of Iman and to get Allah's marifat and awareness. Devastated, always remember, a devastated heart receives light from Allah, nur from Allah. When desires are wrecked and the heart is devastated, the glory of Allah falls on that heart and His light, His nur is manifest in it. So devastated heart receives the light of Allah. Rip open your heart. The hearts of the Sufis and the Awliya, more than that of the Sahaba, more than that of the Sahaba, and above them of the noble prophets, alayhimu salatu wassalam, their hearts have light in it, nur, and are pure and clean in the same way by being broken and broken. They crush their desires and pulverize them. When that is done, Allah brightens the heart and purifies their hearts. The light, the nur of divine awareness, which is called marifat, fills these hearts. And then longing for sin, saps and weakens. Nevertheless, they have to wrestle against the desires in the beginning. The more you crush your heart, the more buds will blossom. The more you crush your heart, the more buds will blossom and wonders will grow, and the more nur it will receive. If you want that garden to grow, crush the desires of the heart. The more the buds will blossom and wonders will grow, and the more nur it will receive. Gradually, anger will be controlled. This is what the Honorable Maulana means in the saying quoted in the foregoing lines. The remedy of anger is to let it come. Let it come, but to reject its demands outright. Tell yourself that you do that for Allah's sake. Thus you will find pleasure in restraining your anger when you tell yourself it is for the sake of Allah. The more you do it, the more you will gain control over yourself. Always remember, the soul, the nafs, is like a suckling child. Allama Busairi Rahmatullah Alayh says in Qasida Burda, he said, "An-nafsuka tifli." The nafs is like a child. The nafs is like a suckling child, sucking on the breast of the mother. That's how the nafs is. "An-nafsuka tifli in tahmilhu." If you indulge the nafs, "shabba ala hubbi radha'i," the nafs will grow up in the love of sucking the breast. "وَإِن تَفْطِمْهُ," and if you wean the child off the breast, "يَنْفَطِمْ," it will stay away and be weaned away from the breast. And the nafs is just like that. A child would never like to stop sucking its mother's breast. If the parents fear that it would be hard on the child if he is weaned, then even after 2 years, the child would cry for mother's milk and continue wanting mother's milk. But if their parents stop it, that may be troublesome to them. It may be troublesome to the parents at first. So your nafs is like that child. "An nafsuka tifli in tahmilhu shabba ala hubbi radha wa in taftimhu yanfatim." If the parents fear that it would be hard on the child if he is weaned, then even after 2 years the child will cry for mother's milk. But if the parents stop it, that may be troublesome to them, because of the child's crying, in the beginning will be troublesome for a few days, but ultimately the child will give up the habit. So to the nafs is like that child. Do not let off the rein on the soul. Always keep that rein on the soul. Keep it on the check, on the nafs. Alamu Busayri, Rahmatullah alayhi, explains that man's soul and his nafs is like a child. If you allow it freedom and let it have all that it wants, then it will take you to the pit of destruction. And you will never, never get rid of sins. Never get rid of sins. But if you rein it back, hold it back, and compel it to abandon sin, then it will give up sin. All it requires is an attempt, an effort, strength, courage. The same is the case with anger. If you reject its demands, then gradually its fury will wane and dwindle. The best remedy for anger, sometimes anger is reined in through other means, but those remedies are very difficult, very difficult. The Honorable Maulana has mentioned them in his saying. If by nature one becomes very angry, and on little things anger exceeds limits and the mind is bogged down, then the best remedy for that is that after the anger has vanished, he must come before the object of his anger in the presence of other people and plead to him with folded hands and put his shoes on his head. If such a person does it a couple of times, he will regain senses. But this is difficult. Next time he will say to himself, it's better to swallow back anger than to humble oneself before a group of people. He will not lose sense again. Hold your mother's feet and ask her to pardon you. One of my friends, says Mufti Taqi, is given to much anger. He does not spare his mother even if she tells him something. He asks me often to prescribe to him what he might recite after Salat of Fajr, after Zuhar Salat. I advised him, do nothing. Go to your mother, hold her feet, and ask her to forgive you, confessing your mistake. He was surprised and said, well, you want me to seek pardon? This is difficult. I said, you will have to do it, and do it in the presence of all your brothers and sisters. He was unwilling, but I insisted that he must do it. However, he did it, and then informed me how difficult he had found it. When he did it twice or thrice, he became normal. That was another remedy. Therefore, sometimes this bitter pill has to be swallowed. After that, Allah gives cure and a deliverance from this malady. However, this must be done under the guidance of a sheikh, not on one's own opinion. Sometimes if a man employs self-medication, that proves harmful and a contra-effect is produced. Only a sheikh knows what dose is to be given. Another remedy for anger, Maulana Tanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi said, that as remedy for anger, the summoning of this thought frequently is also very beneficial. So think in this way. It is known through experience that restraining anger has always proved beneficial. And this is so deep. Think about this always. It is known through experience that restraining anger has always proved beneficial, while allowing it full rein has always produced a bad result from experience. May Allah remove from all of us our evils and shortcomings. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.
Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh I don't care. This is who I am, this is me. Nothing, everything, can't you see?